begins now. I didn't even realize I was doing it when we were putting out the poll question that I called Jacob Mizorowski a Packers All-Star. Because this is the deepest we've gone in a show in a long time without discussing them at all. Tausch, I know you've been reading along with all of the Packers by position stories. Yesterday it was the quarterbacks, today it's the running backs. We got 10 of those stories coming up as we lead into training camps.
Yeah, you know, the big news, and this kid will not be, he's not going to get the Mizorowski treatment. But Anthony Belton, that news is getting more and more interesting because there's now teams reporting. I think the Chargers are playing in that Hall of Fame game.
Yep.
Their second round pick, not there. There is a litany of second round picks. Almost all of them have not signed. And there's going to be an inordinate amount of pressure for teams to not give these guaranteed deals out to second round picks and for these players to sign guaranteed deals. So while I thought that this story would be kind of a nothing burger, I see Florio on Pro Football Talk talking about it. There is a movement and talk that all of these agents and players are going to get together and say, we're not signing anything until it's all guaranteed. And then you know what happens, J-Dub? Then the third
collusion.
Round picks are going to say, oh, well, there are some underlying things, but this is something because guys have teams have started reporting. Packers have another week and some change. This is a story to monitor because if Belton, he's not going to be competing for Zach Tom. He said that from the jump. That just ain't going to happen. But if they're looking at pushing and having Sean Ryan get pushed, Belton's going to need to be there ASAP. And right now, it feels like something bigger is going on until that tile gets removed from that old bathroom and this new tile, guaranteed contracts, comes into play.
All right, so for those of you that have not been following this story, and I think I got, I know that I said this wrong at one point because I thought it was four of the second round picks had signed. That is incorrect.
I think it's one, right?
Two. The Cleveland Browns signed their number 33 overall pick, the first pick of the second round, Carson Schwesinger.
Is he the dude that got in trouble?
That was their first round pick.
I think it was the second round pick that the Browns guy just got in trouble. They must have had two second round picks.
Must have. And then Jaden Higgins, the 34th overall pick, the second round pick, signed with the Houston Texans. And you know why those two guys signed?
Fully guaranteed.
Because they got fully guaranteed deals. And now the next 30 guys in the second round are unsigned. By the way, there's also two first-round picks that have not signed. I didn't realize that.
Well, the Bengals guy.
Of course, the Bengals guy. Yes, indeed. And the Broncos' first-round pick has not signed either. All right, so it's interesting that this is an issue against the backdrop of the whole collusion against guaranteed contracts for free agents, like the one that Deshaun Watson, who was not the person that you probably wanted to be the guy that broke this barrier. But that's what happened because, well, for a lot of reasons. So what do you, if you were, let's put yourself in Anthony Belton's shoes.
It's a tough spot. Really,
what are you doing, old boy?
I don't know.
Because you got to get. You're a rookie. You want to get in there, but yeah. What do you do, Jim?
Yeah, it's really hard because this kid just wants his money, and he wants to go play, and he wants to perform and showcase that he is going to get an opportunity to play. So it's really difficult. This is why players always lose to the owners because you always have to come back to what is in your best interest. Well, the best interest is for all these guys to get guaranteed deals. The league, I'll be shocked if the league goes along with this. Collusion or not, this sets that precedent that all of a sudden, well, then if that happens, well, then next year, there ain't going to be a second-round pick that doesn't go for this.
Right.
The bottom line is,
and then the third-round picks start doing it.
you're drafting a kid in the second round. He should be on your team for 4 years.
Correct.
This shouldn't be a big deal. But there were times, and I think they're still doing this, where you sign a split contract. If you get hurt, you only get half your money as a sixth and seventh round pick. And because they can do it, because guys feel that pressure of getting into camp, because otherwise, you know what, we'll find somebody else. And that pressure is real. Second round picks, they know you use capital. There is more pressure on the team to bring him in and to pay him and get him done. I would guess there's going to be some resolution that all 32 teams figure out, because this has big time ramifications on how the draft continues to go. If they can get these guaranteed, and they should, players should fight. I would love to sit here and tell Belton, don't you dare go in until you get, if they give you three of those 4 years guaranteed, and you're talking about putting a couple million bucks in your pocket, it's real easy for us on the outside to say, nope, you stand on your principle and don't do that. And it's another thing saying, well, I could use that $2 or $3 million and start putting it to work for me and get my butt into camp so I can start working. So it's always easier from the cheap seats, Donnie, to make these decisions.
So,
by the way, Maddie Hayes, our social media queen, I'm not sure I'm going to pronounce this guy's name. Quinshon Judkins, second round pick with the Browns, got into some trouble. I would bet he'll sign a deal that's not going to be fully guaranteed after the issues he got himself into.
Yes.
And thank you, Maddie, for doing the research that I would have hoped our producer or other host in it.
But I had it for you. You just moved on.
Oh, you did.
It wasn't relevant anymore.
Well done, Jesse. You're going to pass. You're going to get back and pass Youngster up for that Broadcasting Association deal. You keep this up.
The Green Bay Packers' second-round draft picks since the most recent collective bargaining agreement in 2011.
Okay, Jason, let's play a fun game. So you do this, and I'll say deserve the four-year since today is a day about deserving. Deserve to have all 4 years guaranteed or not?
Yerp or nerp?
Something like that, yeah.
I love a good game of yerp or nerp. The reason why I bring this up is because there are a number of second-round picks who did not get to their fourth season.
Gotcha.
With the Green Bay Packers. 2011, Randall Cobb.
Yerp.
2012, defensive tackle out of Michigan State, Jarrell Worthy.
For Jarrell's sake, it should be a yerp, but from the Packers' standpoint, yerp.
Lasted 2 years in Green Bay, two seasons with the Packers. Yep. So would have gotten halfway through a guaranteed four-year deal. 2013, Eddie Lacy.
Oh, big yerp. Big yerp.
And then he played out his contract, signed a one-year deal, I think, with the Seahawks, and then was out of the league. 2014, Davante Adams.
I think that's a yerper.
It is. Although there were some folks in 2015 that would have said it's a nerper and get that Jeff Janis guy more opportunities.
I think on your old show, I think I heard somebody on that show saying, I don't remember that for sure, but
I don't think it was me. 2015, Quentin Rollins.
Yeesh. Probably a nerp.
Quentin Rollins.
But isn't that's not Quentin's fault. That's the Packers' fault.
He lasted three seasons in Green Bay. He did not get a fourth season. That's the Packers' fault because he didn't deserve to be a second-round pick.
Well, it didn't work out. It comes down to you're not going to hit on all of them. And by the way, Devontae and Cobber, you got steals of a steal. So that's why this stuff all equals itself out. That's why I think these players should push hard for the fully guaranteed, because the other guys can't get out of it. They're playing for – we went over Zach Tom's deal. You know what I mean? Every Zach Tom, you end up with a Quentin Rollins. Hey, that's the price of doing business, brother.
This is not a very good list so far. 2016,
We're just wait a second. Not a pretty good list. You got two of the best receivers we've seen this century. on this list.
Yeah, and other than that, a bunch of guys who didn't even get to the fourth year of their deals.
Well, if they were
this
guaranteed,
exercise.
They would have.
Okay. Yeah, but they probably would have gotten cut and just gotten to collect their money. 2016, Jason Spriggs, tackle, Indiana.
I liked him.
That didn't work out for Spriggsy.
Wait, Jesse, we'll get to your second round pick in a minute.
There's got to be one coming up here. I don't know.
So, yeah, he
it's
made
the
it
Iowa
through.
Corner. It's the Iowa
exactly.
Corner.
He spent three seasons in Green Bay. Jason Spriggs did not get to a fourth year. Next on the second round pick hit parade, a safety out of North Carolina State in 2017, Josh Jones.
Oh, I heard he's a great player.
He made it only two seasons too, and then he was unhappy on top of it.
Yeah, what did he held out during training camp or something, and no one wanted him there? What did he do?
Yeah, yes, that's a pretty good summary, Jesse. 2018, Jesse has this guy's jersey autographed. One of the great birthday or Christmas presents in history. Josh Jackson, cornerback out of Iowa in 2018.
God, he was going to be good.
Until he wasn't. He only lasted two seasons in Green Bay.
Now, I think you're starting to see why teams don't want to give 4 years fully guaranteed. But as I just said, first round picks get four years with an option. Maybe what you're going to end up seeing is the compromise that second round picks get three of their 4 years guaranteed. Maybe that's what you end up seeing.
Next, 2019, Elton Jenkins.
Steal of a steal.
Pretty good.
You got three guys that are steals of steals, and you got six guys that haven't. The juice on that is still going to be protein. Protein big time when it comes to when you start balancing out what the cost of these second-round picks are, because the cost of a second-round fully guaranteed contract is what? $5 million? $6 million?
Yeah, right? I'll have to fact-check that. Or maybe Matty Hayes can.
Devontae and Elton and Cobber all would have been making, you know, between $10 to $20 million a year if they were getting a fair market value. Mm-hmm. So, hey, tough luck when it comes to that.
Good luck. All right, last couple so we get the trivia. 2020, running back out of Boston College, A.J. Dillon.
You would have been fine giving him 4 years guaranteed.
2020.
He played his role.
Yeah, he was supposed to be the replacement for Aaron Jones. That did not happen. 2021, Josh Myers. He played all 4 years.
He definitely earned every penny. He would have been fine with a guaranteed four-year deal.
2022, Christian Watson, who's in the final year of his deal.
I think we're all right with him getting a fully guaranteed deal.
Mm-hmm. 2023.
Well, you think he stinks. I disagree with you.
Spindly.
So.
2023, Luke Musgrave.
I'm fine with him having a four-year guaranteed deal. He's been a role player that is going to continue to grow. And again, what is this 4 year contract? What is it? $7 million? Like, come on. I know we all get caught up in this. He should be. It's child's play for the NFL. Like, that's more than peanut money, but it's probably peanut popcorn and maybe some diet soda.
Luke Musgrave's contract is a 4 year, $8.4 million.
Yeah, get out of here with, oh, you can't do that. Yeah, you can, you should, and the players need to fight for it.
Even the guys that it didn't pan out for, yeah, there is some risk involved. But again, they're not breaking the bank here.
No, it's nothing.
Last year the second round picks were Edgerrin Cooper and Javon Bullard.
Dude, there is a chance you're going to look at this and say, "Oh my God!" When Edgerrin Cooper is making $2 million. And potentially being, I'm not going to go down the depoy route, but if he does what we expect him to do, you're going to be saying, that is criminal what he's making. So that's my point on this. I get why you want the team to have control and everything. Fight for this. I'm now saying, Belton, get it. Because you know what? If something happens to you, you're going to want that $8-9 million.
Yeah.
Guaranteed. Yeah.
And Edgerrin Cooper's deal, 4 years, $8.598 million dollars. He's already underpaid. He's played one season. All right. That was a useful exercise.
That was fun and I think informative. And, you know, Jason, from just reading that, yes, you have a couple of guys that didn't make it to the fourth year. You have that when you sign guys, it's the same blanking thing.
Right.
When Russ signs these guys to five-year deals.
So Darius Smith didn't get to his fourth year with the Packers.
Josh Jacobs is going to be a fascinating case study how this season goes, because he could be 2 years and done on a four-year contract. Now, the guaranteed money was different, but this, it is, in the grand scheme of salary cap, they will take – this is the risk-reward. It can't just be, well, the player's risking. You're risking, and you're risking a couple million bucks that you might have to dish out to somebody that only lasts two. You're not cutting these guys until their third season at the worst. I don't care how bad of a player they are. And by the way, if you draft somebody that you can't get to their third year on a rookie deal in the second round, you need to evaluate what you're doing.
I would love to know what the owners, other than precedent and just not wanting to guarantee contracts, these are not enormous deals.
It's ripple effects, Jason. It's if we give an inch here, they're going to take a yard there. And by the way, that's how big-time business owners should look at it. But from a player standpoint, you've now seen a little bit. And I think this collusion thing that has gone on is a big plus for the players. What the heck happened with the union? I'd love to get more info. Seems like it all got buried. Let's get that info out. But if you get a couple of guys and this thing rolls, this is such a mild win for the players. I think at some point the owners, while I get why they don't want to do it.
Yeah, just let them have this, it.
This is, well, they can get something in return. Maybe this is something they throw in. This is what will end up happening, J-Dub. They'll say, yeah, we'll do that, but let's get that 18th game then. Huh? 18th game would be
They're
fun,
always going
to
be
it?
Pushing for that 18th game, that's for sure.
Oh, that 18th game's happened.
Yep.
It's done. It's just a matter of when.
Let's play one game of trivia. Jesse, what's today's category and what caller would you like?
It is the Sports Weekend Recap on a Monday for Wildy and Tausch Trivia. Sports Weekend Recap. Well, let's keep it simple today. Caller 10.
Caller 5 for the 5 appearances Jacob Mizorowski has made. Caller 10.
I was going to say caller 1 because I see, you know what card game is coming out to Las Vegas? I think I sent you guys this.
Is Ron Uno. And the Key participating?
Could you imagine playing Uno out in Las Vegas?
Yes.
Like the amount, how crazy would that be? I don't know how that would work, but I am fascinated to find out how it would.
Well, we're taking caller 10 anyway. Caller 10, 844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. Caller 10.
Imagine someone playing Skip and it costs you 25 grand.
Oh, or draw 4.
Draw 4. No!
Oh, Jesse, I could play this and get you 50K, but I'm gonna hit a reverse card on you, and you're going to get hammered that way. I feel like there'd be some bad blood. I feel like this is a bad idea. Because I think there's going to be some scrapping going on as far as how that. I don't know how you'd even execute this, but we'll see.
Well, we'll execute trivia next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Call Gina Della from Pella today, 855-PELLA-WI, and online at PellaWI.com/radio.
Mark Tauscher here for Zimbrick Chevrolet Inside.
All right. What are you singing over there?
I'm trying to. I don't know these words, but I like this song. I don't know the words enough to really.
Michael
sing it,
so Bublé. I was just telling Jesse, this is a breakup song.
It's
pretty upbeat. Called breakup.
It's a beautiful day.
It's a beautiful day that I'm no longer with you. Is basically the message.
I think there's a lot of times in life that's probably true.
All right. Well, we can discuss the inner workings of relationships a little bit later in the program, or maybe tomorrow, because it's time now. For trivia.
Wildy and Tausch Trivia is brought to you by Vortex Golf. Rangefinders you can bet on.
Traded some emails with Sawyer and Kella over at Vortex in beautiful Barneveld, Wisconsin, where I covered a lot of high school games early in my career with the Lady Vikings basketball team and Jimmy Myers as the head coach. What a great operation they've got going there. I'm excited. I'm going to take a tour of their facility a little bit later on this year. But for now, we're going to play some trivia. Oh, another one of my favorite. Is this a bedroom community of Madison? DeForest, Wisconsin, one of my favorite places. Go Norskies and go Aaron Mack.
This might be inappropriate, but I think you were maybe hoping it would be a bedroom community in DeForest.
Whoa, Nelly!
Well, I didn't bring it up. Jason did.
Not necessarily in that context. Hey, Coach, how are you?
Hey, boys, how we doing?
Well, better than I was doing. Better about 30 seconds previous to that remark. All right, the category.
Aaron, quick question for you. I'm not going to get into Jason's love of DeForest. Does Mizorowski deserve to be an All-Star? In your opinion?
No.
You're an old ball coach.
No.
Okay,
no.
We agree. All right, we're on the same
page. Are you glad he's in the All-Star game anyway, though?
Circumstantially, absolutely, but not deserving if everyone else accepts their bid should he have ever been considered.
Well, he wasn't.
He wasn't what?
He wasn't considered until 12 people declined their bid. Well, and then actually it's more than 12 because it's the ones who didn't want to go. And then
I don't think
more.
You know that for sure, Jesse, do you?
What I do know for sure is I have your trivia questions, Aaron, and here is question number one. Which Brewers newcomer had a remarkable debut this week in Milwaukee, hitting multiple home runs and twice delivering game-tying hits in the ninth inning as part of two come-from-behind victories? Is it Andrew Vaughn, Rick Vaughn, or Hunter Vaughn?
Let's go A.
Correctamundo.
Hunter Vaughn. That's good stuff. All right, Aaron. Which former Wisconsin Badgers athlete won the 2025 American Century Championship Celebrity Golf Tournament in Lake Tahoe with a walk-off eagle putt? Is it Frank Kaminsky, Joe Pavelski, or Russ Wilson?
Let's go old JoJo B.
Yeah, what a performance. Obviously a Hall of Fame hockey player, and now is Rogers ever going to win this? It's kind of his tournament. Is he going to win this thing ever, or is he? It's his tournament. I mean, he's kind of brought this thing back.
It's not his tournament.
He has brought it to, I think he's taken it up a notch since he's been a part of it. And now Pavs wins one. Good for Joe.
Question three is this. No one mentioned where we're at so far this week. Which former Wisconsin high school star led all scorers with 22 points in the Milwaukee Bucks 106-91 loss to the Los Angeles Clippers in NBA Summer League play yesterday? Is it Patrick Baldwin Jr., Con Knipple, or Johnny Davis?
Oh, boy. I was MIA this weekend. I'll see if this one sticks. We'll go C.
Johnny Davis is Incorrect.
It wasn't Khan because he's with the Hornets.
Correct. Patrick Look at that. Baldwin. Process of elimination. Patrick Baldwin Jr. of the Los Angeles Clippers. Was he a lottery pick? How high did he get drafted?
Ooh, let me check. I think he was.
No, I think he was a late pick by Golden State. Golden State drafted him late first round, I believe.
If Miz gets in the All-Star game with 5 starts, I think I should get in the Hall of Fame going 2 out of 3, so we'll be all right.
There you go. I think that's a bad way to look at it.
Well, you get 3 of the possible 4 entries into Friday's drawing, and you're still our favorite coach. Thanks, Aaron. We appreciate you, man.
Hey, thanks. Tausch, see you in Reedsburg Friday.
Is the Badgers outsider being inducted into the Hall of Fame?
No, I'm not going to lie to you. I will have something to say. We potentially got the worst schedule in the history of baseball tournaments on Friday. So much
You're
so I have to
at
take
midnight
off.
Again?
No, I play it. Matter of fact, as I said this, we're in a tournament in Reedsburg. I would have preferred our schedule this weekend over what Reedsburg gave us on Friday. 11 a.m. and 5 p.m. and then 7 p.m. the next day? Yeah, I got to take off of work. I can't do the show Friday because of the schedule in Reedsburg. But that's for another story. But we'll see Coach Mac down there, which will be fun.
You could okay. You could not go.
He's the coach.
It's the last tournament of the year, dude. We're on coaching. Am I going to miss it? What are you, crazy? Jason goes to watch his girls practicing. And you think I'm going to miss a game? What are we talking about?
Who's your draw in game one? I feel like
I don't know.
If it's a good
no. I'm just so irritated that we have to play at 11 a.m. Okay.
Favorable matchup.
I'm not skipping the 11 a.m. game. Have you ever heard of a baseball game on a Friday at 11 a.m. at a community tournament? I've never heard of it.
Have not.
It's unprecedented.
Unprecedented.
Lonelli is next. It's Will
the
Tausch.
You want me to keep rambling about this, Jason, or what?
I would prefer you
very
didn't.
Quick. Yeah. You're very quick to shut me up here. I've got plenty to say.
Oh, I'm aware. Bye.
This is Wilde and Tausch, driven by Zimbrick Chevrolet in Sun Prairie on 100.5 ESPN. See their full inventory at ZimbrickChevrolet.com.
Call you up in the middle of the night, like a firefly without a
I may have wo-nellied that last conversation. Now it's time, though, for the real wo-nelly.
If the topic is good, the guys discuss.
Just the other morning, I had breakfast at Tracy Rocker's house. His mama brought out 15 flapjacks. He said, "Mama, take back 5 of them flapjacks. I gotta stay hungry for the Crimson Tide."
But if it's not, the show must go on. It's time for
wo-nelly
on Wilde and Tausch.
Some news and notes from around the National Football League over the weekend.
Hey, we covered that second round. That was a really good topic. I just want to say, Tausch directing us toward the Anthony Belton story. That was really fun. I enjoyed that segment.
The Chicago Bears with a classic Friday afternoon news dump heading into a week after 4th of July weekend. Around 3:30 on Friday afternoon, announced the extension of general manager Ryan Poles through the 2029 season.
Are you insinuating they did not think that would be popular?
Well, for those who are not familiar, Jason, could you please explain to the group the concept of the Friday afternoon news dump?
I'd be happy to. Thank you for the opportunity. If you have some news that you don't want people to know about, or you'd like to see it get lost in the shuffle of the news cycle, Friday afternoon is traditionally when you announce it. Kind of like the NFL and the collusion findings the previous week, I believe, did the same thing. So it would appear, and again, maybe they're very excited about Ryan Poles. Not sure why, but they gave him a contract extension. So now he and Ben Johnson are joined at the hip. But they did announce it at a time when most people, if it's good news that they want everyone to be excited about and know about, they don't announce it on a Friday afternoon.
15-36 in Ryan Poole's tenure as the general manager of the Chicago Bears, and he gets an extension.
Let me ask you this. What's worse, never announcing it or putting it on a Friday?
I talked to Ed Policy about that. Again, you made a very fair point at the time. It remains fair to this day that while no one expects you to publicly announce all the particulars, when your general manager and your head coach, I know, I agree with you. Although teams don't announce the particulars of contracts,
I see
the
plenty agents. Of times players do that, or teams do it. I've seen teams do that.
I have not seen a team announce the number, the statistical, financial numbers. I don't remember seeing that. Agents do that though, in thinly veiled sourcing. To insiders. Yeah, 15-36 is not a very good record, Tausch.
No, I get the fact that you're looking for some consistency, and he hired the coach. Should they have fired Eberflus when they brought in Caleb and had this thing started a year earlier? 100%, because now you're basically took one of the years of the rookie deal that is so valuable to these organizations, and you basically wiped it away. And you knew that it was going to be, well, you hoped that Eberflus would be good. You didn't extend him. You kind of knew you're going to make this big sweeping change. Do it. They didn't. And now they've kind of married Ben Johnson and Poles and Williams, which is smart if you think he's the guy. He's obviously struggled. But again, I come back to, I think the Friday news dump is better than no news dump. But from a Bears standpoint, I think Packer fans are happy that this move happened. Yeah, I don't think we're afraid of the decisions that Ryan Poles is making, even though the Bears did come a Carl Brooks fingertip away from sweeping the Green Bay Packers last year.
You're right about that. It is fascinating to me, and they've got now a coach who is going to is the right fit for a number one overall pick, right? They believe that this marriage of the quarterback and the coach is a good one.
We don't know.
But
we'll see.
But they did with him what they've done with their previous attempts at quarterbacking, which is draft a guy to a coach that's already there. It doesn't work. And then a year in, the quarterback of the future gets a new head coach, and then that doesn't work, and then they have to draft another quarterback. So maybe this is the end of the line and everything's going to end up hunky-dory.
Kind of a vicious cycle.
Some might say.
Indeed. We don't care if that keeps on. By the way, I will be giving you, I'm almost finished with my time in Iowa, the Netflix series Quarterback. God, it is a beautiful, what a awesome job by the Mannings and by whoever does all that. That show is so blanking good if you like football. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm a big fan, and there is a guy on that show that will be doing one of the big boy broadcasting jobs when he's done. And I'll tell you that tomorrow. Day tease.
It's a tease.
Whoa, Nelly!
Okay. I'm guessing it's not Ndamukong Suh who announced his official retirement from the National Football League, even though he hasn't played since 2022. Officially retired over the weekend. 12 seasons, I believe it was, in total, after being drafted in 2010. Of course, the majority of that time with the Detroit Lions, the Dolphins. Spent a couple of years with the Buccaneers, where he won a Super Bowl. Is Ndamukong Suh a Hall of Famer?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
What will you most remember him for?
Well, I mean, curb stomping Dietrich Smith.
Stomping on people. Yes.
But honestly, for me, this will be something that I remember. This was kind of my welcome to being a retired old NFL guy. In 2010, I'm blocking Ndamukong Suh. The next year, I'm out playing a golf course with a push cart, and somebody asked me about Ndamukong Suh, and I was thinking to myself, boy, things change quick in this league.
The league comes at you fast.
That's one thing I remember about Ndamukong Suh. Like, yeah, I was, you know, working a backside B block on Ndamukong Suh about a year ago, and now I'm walking a course with a push cart like a 75-year-old washed up. Now, I hadn't at that point went to exclusive utility clubs like most old people. I was still hitting irons and, you know, drivers. You get to a certain age, you start hitting 9-woods. I'm not there yet, but I'm getting closer than I'd probably like to admit.
I'm sorry. Could you help me as a non, despite my impressive run as a golf coach, what is that? What are you, utility? What is that?
They're basically like fatter irons that have a thicker face. You can get through rough easier. It's what old people that aren't strong use to get out of.
And you're not using those yet.
Well, I have a 3 hybrid. If I'm like somewhere between 210 and 235, it's kind of my club because I can't hit an iron. I can't hit a good iron that far. And it's kind of my club in between a 4-iron and a 3-wood.
Okay. I'm intrigued. I don't have any of those in my bag as I work to get under 200. Whoa, Nelly!
Whoa, Nelly!
Last up, whoa, Nelly follow-up. Our journalistic integrity is pretty good around here during this segment.
Indeed.
It does turn out that Uno is not on its way to becoming a Las Vegas table game.
Is that an April Fool's Day joke?
It's not an April Fool's joke. There is a Uno social club that's going to be a temporary setup for 3 days at the Palms Casino Resort, July 18th to the 20th,
so
coming up.
It will be later this a game, week. But just for a limited run.
It's going to have a limited run where casino patrons can play Uno with one another.
How does it work? Like, how do you win money on it?
I don't know if you can win money on it. I think it's more of like a demonstration, exhibition.
This is all right. First of all, Jesse, great work. Good work. This must be something that is trending in a huge way because I typed in to my Google search engine Uno, and the first thing it completed was in Vegas. This apparently is very much trending. They are social clubs. Now, whether or not you can actually win money, I don't see there any actual money on the line.
I don't think it's like $100 to sit down at the Uno table.
Yeah.
Right next to blackjack.
My thought would be you go down there and the house takes a little cut. Everybody puts $50 in, and whoever wins that hand of Uno wins the pot. And the Vegas takes its little cut. That's what I thought would be the case. And I'm just saying that'd be a horrible idea because I think you're going to end up with some fist fights when I keep hammering Frankie from Dubuque to my left would draw fours and Leslie from... Yeah. Waterford, I'm going to say, you're good. I'm going to just keep doing this. And then maybe I make a side deal with Leslie. Like, hey, we split this up. Like, it's a recipe for a disaster.
But also, like, why would the Hard Rock Casino Rockford want to do this? Like, why would anyone?
Fun.
Why would anyone
it's
sit
fun.
At the table to play Uno if you could just do the same thing at home without the dealer or the house getting a cut?
If they take a 10% cut? I don't know because you're playing with random folks that don't know. And if you're at a casino, you want to just sit down. Sometimes I'll go sit at a table. I don't want any entry, but the other tables are full, and I don't want to sit there with a... Yeah, dumb look on my face. Oh, I can't wait for this spot to open up. I'm going to sit there and watch randoms play for 4 hours. I'd rather sit down and throw Uno with some folks, maybe catch a couple cards, win a hand, and take a couple $100 home with me.
Get into a fist fight over getting whacked with the skip and the reverse cards repeatedly.
Oh, you rascal. Hit me with another reverse. You do it again, I'm going to chop you in the ribs.
Debbie from Lodi is going to get you.
That's a fair question.
Apparently they're opening these Uno social clubs around the country. This is the first one.
I'm going to tell you this. I think
they better have good security.
I read the book. It's a community bowling book. I don't remember the exact name of it, but basically the idea of there used to be bowling leagues and bowling. That was where the towns would meet. You'd have community, sense of community, and that's gone. We need something like this. Card clubs around the communities is going to be something in a world that's getting more non-personal and more robotic and screeny and scrolly. Love the club idea. Love it.
We need more people fighting over Uno.
Tausch is right. I know we got to go because we got to wrap things up. But Tausch is right. It is one of the more potentially infuriating games that can be played to create hard feelings.
You can make it personal. Like, I could say, Wildy, I am sick of you doing this, or Jesse, I'm irritated with you. I'm saving every draw four I can possibly hammer, and I'm going to get you, and maybe Johnny to my left, I'll be like, you know what? Johnny hasn't irritated me. I'm going to just throw him cards. And you can do that in a big way.
Indeed. Speaking of irritating, we'll hear what kind of job Tausch has done with the Kohler Services crew before we bid him farewell. That's next. It's Wildy and Tausch.
This is Our Crew.
A drive, left center, deep. See you later. Caleb Durbin, turn out the lights.
You're listening to Madison's new home for Milwaukee Brewers baseball, 100.5 ESPN.
We gotta go, but Tausch, before we do, what's the latest update on the bathroom shower renovation in Salem with Kohler Services?
I just went in during the break. The tub is installed already, so now obviously you gotta put the tile back up on the where we demoed this morning. It is moving along well. There's a lot of detail work that is yet to be done, and I think wisely I'll be leaving before that gets started.
A man knows his limitations. That's it for us today. We'll do it again tomorrow. Have a great day. Take care. Be good.
Miss any of today's episode of Wildy and Tausch, presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin? Commercial-free full show podcasts are available free on the ESPN Wisconsin app.